Hi everybody, and welcome back to another live stream, broadcasting here across the known universe. So we're on all the platforms. We're on YouTube, we're on Getter, we're in Rumble, we are everywhere. So I hope this one finds you well. That's the first thing to say. Thanks for being here. We've got a busy week, so much happening everywhere at the moment. As you know, in the UK, we've got the small matter of what looks to be a palace coup against the Prime Minister. So we're going to chat about that tomorrow night with a prominent Conservative MP coming on tomorrow night to discuss matters British. However, tonight, and I'm really pleased about this, we're going to focus on matters on the other side of the pond in the United States. So we've got a lot of ground to cover, and we've got a fantastic guest to welcome to the stream. So, as you know, I mean, I guess the fact of the matter is that the majority of people who are following me, they're all Trump supporters one way or the other. Wherever you are, not just in the States, here in the UK as well. I mean, we do have the MAGA supporters this side of the water. So, so we've been obviously fascinated by what's been happening across there. Over the past 4 years, six years now, I suppose, really. And so, as I say, we needed to talk to someone who is kind of was a central figure to what was happening back in the day during the President Trump's period in the White House. And so without any further ado, I see him in the background. I hope he's ready to go. We've got our very special guest, Peter Navarro, coming on the stream. Hi, Peter.
Mr. Vance, how are you, sir? Nice to be with you across the pond. Hope things are well over there. I've been following with great interest the disastrous economic policy your new PM kind of instituted immediately. And these are the kinds of things I did when I was with Donald Trump in the White House. But we are in troubled times. How can I help you today, sir?
Well, we are in troubled times, and hopefully at the end of the trouble, Peter, we enter a world where things improve. And so you've got a fantastic book out, which I see there on the screen, Taking Back Trump's America. And you asked, Peter, it's in two sections, why we lost the White House and how we win it back. And obviously, Peter, you were such a pivotal figure during that time. So can we start off by asking the simple question? So, okay, why did Trump lose the White House?
Sure. For me, the big picture here, Taking Back Trump's America is a memoir of my years in the White House. I think for your viewers, it's important to understand that I was only one of three senior White House officials who was with the president all the way from the campaign in 2016 to the end of what we like to call his first term in 2020. Yeah. And I was literally in every room where things happen. What I saw was a variation on the old lesson of the Ronald Reagan presidency, saying that we call personnel is policy, meaning that if a president fails to hire personnel who reflect his own agenda, he's not going to get that agenda in terms of policy. And Reagan understood that. He didn't make that mistake. He actually learned that lesson from Richard Nixon, who put too many liberals in the White House and to bad ends. And so the Taking Back Trump's America book, the first half of it talks about how in the original sin of the administration happened literally a day after the 2016 election, when we decided to welcome the traditional Republicans of Bush and Cheney and Paul Ryan, the then Speaker of the House, the Karl Rove wing, all of these traditional rhinos, we call them, Republicans in name only. We shared a common platform in a low tax burden for families, a low regulatory burden for businesses, and strategic energy dominance by reaping the fruits of our energy resources here in the United States, which made us an energy independent. But what happened was the rhinos depart from us with respect, and this is pure Brexit kind of stuff, we favor secure borders, and we favor fair trade with our allies and friends, not imbalanced trade. And so what happened, basically, when we let these people under the end of the tent, we just got a lot of these bad personnel who would disrupt, delay, and derail a lot of the Trump policies that he campaigned on and which would have been politically popular had we pressed the advantage to its fullest. And so there's a fateful day, for example, early in 2017, where the president and I are sitting in the Roosevelt Room in the iconic West Wing of the White House. He's across the table from me. We've got cabinet officials, Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis, Sonny Perdue, Agriculture. And so that went. Plus, we had all of the West Wing top officials, you know, the Steve Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary, the Gary Cohn, Economic Director. And the president goes around the table, very concerned that our trade policy and tariff policies aren't moving fast. And he gets to the end and realizes there's only two people in the room who support the policies. That's me and him. And it's like, you know, it's like, and so fast forward to 2020, we just had a lot of dead wood in the White House doing bad things. And effectively, it led to a series of strategic failures that made the election close enough to steal. I want to make that fine point. I have done exhaustive research on the results of the U.S. election, and in my judgment, that election was almost certainly stolen in the six battleground states of Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Arizona, and Michigan. And what I think is it's a cautionary tale, whether you're American or British or anybody who is going to govern, whether it's 10 Downing Street or 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, you got to have the right people around you. And then fast forward to today, the second part of the book, Taking Back Trump's America, is how basically to win the White House and win it back. And it's very timely now, because the first thing I recommend we do is to take back the House of Representatives. And here in America, we're less than 30 days out from an election where it's absolutely critical we do that.
Although, Peter, just to focus back again, just for one moment on those 4 years. I mean, President Trump, you know, very successful businessman. You know, people who are good at business are traditionally very good at being able to read the room, read people, get the right people in the right job. So how was it? How did President Trump not fail in that regard by having dead wood around him? Because I'm sure he wouldn't have had that around the board table in his business life. How did that happen in the political life?
As I said, at the day after the election, the decision was made with Trump, his son-in-law, and some of his inner circle. Yep. That because of the vast size of the Washington bureaucracy that needed to be staffed, because of, I guess, the need to move forward with an agenda on Capitol Hill, it was important after what had been a divisive election where Trump not only conquered the Democrats, but the Trump Republicans, that there be a re-merging under the Big Ten of the Republican Party. It was just a bad and, I dare I say, stupid decision. I blame a lot of that on the people who were advising, particularly his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. But, you know, I was in the war room in Trump Tower that day after. I'd been there on the campaign. And Ryan Priebus, who was the director of the Republican National Committee, came in with all his army of troops, Katie Walsh, one of the villains, true villains of Taking Back Trump's America book. They sit down right in the middle of the war room, make sure that they were signaling to everybody they were in control. And they proceeded to pick off a lot of the Trump people one by one. Priebus was able, when he got to be chief of staff, to rejigger the policy agenda in a way that front loaded, of all things, Obamacare, which we hadn't run on,
yeah,
and then the tax policy and all of the things that we wanted, the wall, the tariffs, the trade policy, got shunted aside. We lost momentum. Priebus would wind up getting fired within 6 months.
Yeah.
But that was even that was a double-edged sword, because the idiot who replaced him was really an idiot, John Kelly. And he was, I think he, look, Priebus, by the time Priebus got fired, he had figured out who the good guys were, and it was me and Bannon. And
yeah,
we were going to get some good stuff done, but he was out of there. And then I had to put up with John Kelly for a year and a half. It's a situation where the biggest shock to me was that I had to fight more people inside the perimeter than outside to advance the president's agenda. I mean, I was successful mostly, but it took too long, and we did leave some things on the table. One of the things, you know, one of the strategic failures we had related to communist China, it grieves me terribly to see how close the English political and economic elites have aligned themselves with communist China, yep, primarily because of the money that's showered in Great Britain's way. It's a very strategic error on Great Britain's part, but it is what it is. We had the same problem here, but one of the things that we had to do politically in that months leading up the election is shift the burden of the blame for the pandemic away from President Trump, and to communist China, where it belonged. And I had this beautiful executive order, which would have done that, effectively setting up a national commission to effectively find that China was to blame for the pandemic, and they owed us a couple of $1 trillion. I mean, it was brilliant, if I do say so myself, but I couldn't get it past Larry Kudlow and Steve Mnuchin and some of the bad Wall Street guys inside the White House.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think, Peter, had it not been for COVID, that the result would have been different in 2020?
Oh, absolutely. COVID did us in, which I mean, look, the Taking Back Trump's America is the second of my memoirs from the White House. The first In Trump Time starts in the East Wing on January 20th with the Chinese communists coming to town to do a trade deal, which I hated. It was a bad deal. We never should have got into it. But that was when that was essentially at the same time that the communist China virus entered the United States. I mean, we had built the greatest economy in modern history. Yeah. We were cruising towards an unprecedented landslide. We don't know whether that virus escaped accidentally or intentionally from the Wuhan lab. We know it came from there now. Yeah. If it was done intentionally by the communists, it was brilliant, because they were able to grab Hong Kong behind the shield of the virus and take Donald Trump out. We didn't have to lose the election because of the pandemic. If we had done some better things, particularly holding China accountable. But look, I don't know what the media is there like there in Great Britain, but here, every single media outlet of any size was against Trump, including Fox News, because Fox News is split.
Right.
So, we didn't fight back the way we could have and should have. And that's a lot about what Taking Back Trump's America is about.
Yeah, I think so, Peter. I mean, I think a lot of us do realize that, I mean, there was tremendous achievements made during those 4 years, despite the biased media, despite the unbelievable hostility, which you obviously saw happening, you know, firsthand, in terms of the vitriol against Donald Trump. I mean, it was amazing. I have to say, I was one of the few people who went on British TV back in late 2015 and said that I thought Donald Trump would win. And I remember being laughed at, Peter. They all treated me like a joke because, oh, it's got to be Hillary Clinton. But, you know, I was delighted to see the Trump era begin. I was very sad to see it end. And now, Peter, excuse me, we've gone through a couple of years of idiocy in the form of Biden, which brings us, I guess, to the second sort of part of your book in terms of, okay, so how will we win the White House back again?
There's an interesting chapter in Taking Back Trump's America about how a couple of lunkheads, I don't know if they, you know that expression in Britain, but a couple of lunkheads, idiots in the White House political arm, in the 2018 political cycle, the congressional and Senate races, we have them off the president, convinced the president that we should focus too much on the Senate races and not enough on the House of Representative races. Mm-hmm. That would turn out to be a fundamental strategic error because Nancy Pelosi, the Democrat, narrowly won the House. And the speaker's gavel went to her. So we had divided government. Yeah. We hung on to the Senate, but we lost the House. And the problem we had, Mr. Van, is that Pelosi weaponized the investigatory powers of Congress. We have within our three branches of government system under the Constitution and separation of powers, the legislative branch is not supposed to be able to act as the judiciary to try to punish the executive branch. And Pelosi and her minions have consistently violated the Constitution in that, in two phony impeachments, the Russia hoax, the January 6th nonsense now. And it took its toll. It was a self-inflicted wound. So my point is that if we don't win back the House on November 8th this month, then we're probably not going to win back the White House for Trump in 2024 because Pelosi is just going to continue to abuse her powers while she destroys not just the American economy, but the American justice system.
Can I just ask a question on that? I mean, I agree with what you're saying regarding Pelosi. Pelosi has shown herself to be absolutely ruthless in terms of what she's prepared to do. Is that not a criticism of the Republican Party when it's in charge? It's too meek and mild. What do you say?
You're absolutely right on that. There's a great story in Taking Back Trump's America about Lindsey Graham. Okay, Lindsey Graham is a moderate rhino Republican senator from the state of South Carolina. And Lindsey was this like Trump's sycophant. He's like a little lapdog. He was always hanging around the White House, begging the boss to take him to play golf, this, that, and the other thing. And he was the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee when the Republicans were in power, and he promised time and time and time and time and time and time again that he would subpoena people and get to the bottom of this Russia hoax, which was a Democrat plot cooked up with the FBI to take out Trump. You know, it's Lindsey, but he just never called anybody. And it was either because they had something on him or he just didn't have the spine for it. But certainly, Bill Barr, another rhino Republican, an appointment that Trump made, which from the day he made it, I thought it was a huge mistake because Barr was a Bush-Cheney Republican, Wall Street kind of just white shoe lawyer. And he screwed Trump over and over again. But Barr never got to the bottom of the Russia hoax either. And he had the power to do that. So, The answer is, and it's in Taking Back Trump's America, and this is what the battle is over the next 25-ish days for the House, is to elect Trump Republicans. So there's a battle within a battle now going on between the Karl Rove, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy wing of the party, where they're trying to get their Republican candidates elected and trying to stop Trump's candidates from getting elected. I mean, think about that. McConnell trying to stop Blake Masters from getting elected to the Senate as a Republican because he supports Trump. I mean, that's like insane. But that's kind of American politics, and I'm sure you've got a little bit of that going on.
Peter. Yeah, we do. But I mean, at this point, as you say, with the midterms coming up next month, I think the polls seem to indicate quite favorable outcomes for the Republican Party. Is that what you expect to see, or are you unsure, or what do you think?
Well, my advice to people here who are going to vote is you got to show up on what we call game day. You got to go out and vote because there will be more election fraud by the Democrats. And we can only overcome that by massive turnout at the polls. And we will do that if we turn out. You know, the problem is that we now have systemic election fraud built in to the system because it's skewed more and more to absentee ballots, where we get more and more absentee ballots with less and less scrutiny. They take away kind of the things like signature match. And so the room for fraud is enormous. You have these things called drop boxes and ballot harvesting and things like that. I think that so I don't care what the polls say. Just show up on game day and get involved with our congressional race prior to that, and things will be good. If not, the country's at risk right now, and if America goes down the tubes, we're taking you with us, by the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Listen, Peter, we know it's in our best interests that the right thing happens in November and again in 2024. I mean, the calamitous leadership of the Democrats, I mean, it's beyond words. But as I say, one thing about them, I will say, they are ruthless, sort of morally bankrupt at the same time. But so assuming that the result's a good one next month, right? Then do you think President Trump will at some point thereafter basically come out and say, "Yep, I'm running in 24"? What do you think happens next?
Yeah, I've predicted that we'll have a Christmas present. He should wait until after the election. But I think he'll announce sometime before the end of the new year, this year.
Because that would be very energizing, wouldn't it? I mean, I think most of us expect it. But and as you say, I suppose it's good strategy to wait until such times as the. What do you think the result in the Senate will be in November?
Well, again, I don't want people to get overconfident here. If we do our job as Republicans and independents and blue collar Democrats who are more worried about their jobs and their pension funds than they are having critical race theory taught in the schools, we're going to pick up a lot of those folks as well. I think at the end of the day, we'll control the Senate by 52-48, 53-47.
Yeah, around the margin. Yeah. But all that matters is control, isn't it? I mean, the numbers are sort of secondary in that regard, I suppose.
You like to have a comfortable enough margin that you don't have the Joe Manchin problem where you have one or two senators holding you hostage.
But I understand
the
that.
The Senate's a bad place. The Senate, it 6 years between elections allows too many of these senators to push forward their own agenda rather than serve the people. And there's just a lot of bad eggs in that Senate. I saw them when I was in the White House. Guys like Pat Toomey. I mean, that guy never even belonged there. He's a one-term senator. He didn't dare run again. you know, guys like that. I mean, Lindsey Graham needs to get the hell out of there. I don't think he'll survive another election cycle. He snuck by because the boss endorsed him last time, and that was a mistake. Mm. But Mitt Romney, I mean, that guy, you know, there's just a lot of bad apples in there. But I think what Trump is doing is building a political machine, and the 2024 cycle, there'll be a lot of senators up for grabs, and I think that's where we'll kind of maybe push forward.
And Peter, when it comes to 2024, then, I mean, on the basis that, I mean, do you think it'll be Trump v. Biden, or do you think it'll be Trump v. Kamala, or who do you think it's going to be?
Oh, I don't think Joe makes it till 2024. I mean, he's just so feeble and infirm. It's an embarrassment.
Yeah.
The Democrats, you know, who knows what they'll do? Kamala, just, she's unelectable. The only person who doesn't know that is her. I'd love for her to be at the top of that ticket. But you know, you can't worry about who you're running against. You got to worry about what you run on. And that's what Taking Back Trump's America, the book, is, because there's a whole set of chapters on what it means to be a populist economic nationalist, you know, a Brexit kind of person, mm-hmm. On your side of the pond. And, you know, if we run that kind of race, that's what's in tune with the American people.
Yeah. I guess so. And if Donald Trump was to re-enter the White House again, would you see yourself having any role in that situation, Peter?
There was a reason why I survived all 4 years in the White House. I think I was one of the few people there who hadn't come there looking for a job. And also didn't care whether I got fired the day after. So it gave me a lot of freedom just to tell the president, give him my best advice. He didn't always want to hear what I had to say, in the sense of it wasn't what he wanted to hear. But because of that, he valued my opinion. So not looking for a job. If anybody asks me to serve my country, I will, but not looking for a job.
Yeah, no, I understand. Peter, I have to say, I mean, I'm a huge admirer of the work that you did do during that time. I think this is a really important book, which I urge everybody on either side of the pond, whether you're in the States or whether you're here in the UK, it's well worth reading. Taking Back Trump's America by Peter Navarro. As I say, Peter, you know, you mentioned Brexit a couple of times. I felt in 2016, the interests of the United States and the United Kingdom kind of came together for a glorious 6 months whenever we got to leave the European Union and President Trump got himself into the White House. That was a fantastic time. It would be amazing if by 2024, at least on your side of things, there's a return, so to speak, to the to the front line, and we've still got our battles to fight.
You gotta find a Trump over there. I don't know if it's Farage or whoever or whatever, but it ain't Bojo.
No, it's not Bojo. No. But that was the embarrassment for us, Peter. You know, I couldn't understand why red-blooded British conservatives wouldn't instantly reach out to the Trump regime. I didn't understand that, but that's because they're so weak and useless as well in so many cases, you know. So I guess, as you say, you know, I thought your analysis is very interesting. If you try to build too broad a consensus, you bring in some people who will undermine you, and that's what we see that at the moment. I mean, it's in the news here. We may have a change of prime minister in what, a week or so, maybe. I think if that. So getting the right people is so important. But I'm sure, Peter, you were a voice of constant wisdom to President Trump. And I really sincerely hope that things will work out next month and again in 24. Listen, I'm conscious of your time, so I want to thank you. I really appreciate your time. Thank you for being with me, Peter. And I'll let you go now. Thanks again, right, Peter. Man. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye. Right. I think we are still here. We are still going. So, everybody, hope you enjoyed that. That was, as you know, Mr. Peter Navarro. Let me just bring up, folks. I'm afraid I am so busy here doing stuff that I just didn't see everything happening on the getters. So let me see if I can get this thing to come up. Hang on, bear with me. Here we go. Right. What should I stream? So I wanna talk to you guys. So yep, there we go. There we go. And as always, hope you enjoyed that. Just wanting to see if the stream's coming up. So I see, I'm not sure, I just want to check, was the getter stream working okay? In fact, Jed, if you want to join me in your monkey guys, then let me know. I'm just trying to have a look around here. I'm looking across from...
Good evening, David. Good evening, everybody. Yes, everything was fine across on the getter streams. And the Rumble and DLive and YouTube and Facebook, everything was great.
Okay. Well, as I say, I mean, Peter Navarro, absolutely central figure in the Trump regime from 2016 to 2020. He's a no-nonsense guy. I can tell you another reason you should buy the book is it's no holds barred. So he doesn't hold back from naming those individuals, and he sort of referenced a couple of them during the interview we had there. But I think Peter's a great guy. I mean, these are sort of he's a heavyweight, Jed, and I am very 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 delighted that we were able to get him for 30 minutes on our stream. So trying to read comments here. Obviously says getter's a little sticky, but it's the update, not you guys. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, as is always the way, all we can do is work with the streams that we have and how they are promoted or otherwise. So, Jed, what did you make of what he had to say?
Every single thing he said was spot on. I know one or two people, particularly on the getter stream, not necessarily agreed. But I do think, and I think it shows the character of the man that actually he stayed the 4 years. And I think that was a key element, because you did hear during Trump's time, and, you know, the media played it up like there was no tomorrow. Every time somebody left the administration, was, oh, you know, they can't stand Trump, or Trump sacked him, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And it made into a massive story. Yeah. You know, you could look at any administration. I mean, Christ, look at the one we've got at the moment. You know, we've had a prime minister for, what, 30 days, and she might be out the door. And who's actually, is she prime minister? Well, in name only, because it looks like, I nearly said the bad word then, but Mr. Hunt is running the show. So I think Peter knows his stuff. He clearly knows his stuff, and he clearly knew. And you know, somebody said when he mentioned about, you know, the election was stolen in six key battleground states, and he named them, and they were the ones that we all watched on TV flip overnight, stop counting, and then when they came back, suddenly, you know, Uncle Joe was fortified, and he was in the lead. Now, you know, some people still say there is no evidence, but there is. If you watch 2000 Mules, you'll see the evidence. It doesn't take massive amounts of people. It just takes a good amount of people doing it regular. Yeah. And that will be enough.
Yeah. No, I mean, as I say, I've got a lot of respect for Peter. I mean, there were just a couple of guys stuck with Trump all the way through, and Peter was one of them. Steve Bannon as well, and I think also, interestingly enough, for those watching on Getter, Jason Miller. So you know, Peter is in very fine company. I think Peter's a kind of he's a tough-minded guy, Certainly, you heard his comments, Jed, about China. And that's, see, here's the thing. That's all gone away now. You know, we don't, no one even talks about China now. And isn't it interesting?
No, because that shows you what a hoax it all was. You know, anything that they were trying to point at Trump during his four years he was there was all fake to just give bad headlines because they couldn't dare dream. You know, let's go back. Let's just go back to when Trump was the businessman and all the news media outlets and all the stations wanted Trump on. He was the man. He was the businessman that everybody aspired to. Then when he started talking some home truths about American politics and he stood to become or to run as president, that is it. It's the home truth that they didn't like and wanted to shut down because the home truths went against the globalist. Because up till then, he'd been a globalist. He'd been a big businessman, multi-billion dollar businessman. And then suddenly, I wouldn't say suddenly, just went, actually, this is bullshit. And this is what the common man and common woman need in America. Low taxes, small government, which is exactly what we're crying out for here. And what we've just got, Hunt, who is big government, big spending, high taxes. That's not conservative. There's nothing conservative about it.
Well, we're going to, as I mentioned at the beginning, folks, if you tune in tomorrow night here at 7, it's going to be what, Jed? 7 p.m. UK time, I think, and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I think that's
how it works. David, you're asking what? Right, here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'll tell you. So if it's 7 p.m. here, it's 2 p.m. Eastern.
Eastern.
11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Right. Donnie girl, I hope you're paying attention there. So the thing about that is my contention, which I've been consistently pumping out through my podcasts, is that the Conservative Party is dead in the water. It's going to be washed out to sea. It's all over. So tomorrow night, as you know, Jed, we're joined by Andrew Bridgen, MP, who yesterday called for the resignation of the current Prime Minister, Liz Truss. So we've got him coming on tomorrow night, Dan Emerson as well, who's got an alternative theory as to what might happen. So it's a good one coming tomorrow night in the world of British politics. But back to the American. Jed, the other thing I wanted to say, just on the China front, have you seen Jeremy Hunt's wife? Have you seen her, Jed?
Oh, absolutely, David. And if you watch the Lotus Eaters today, they did a very good piece on our Chinese friend, Mr. Hunt and his good lady and their connections.
I see Jason O'Brien. Hey, Jason, you beat me to it. The connections are all there. I mean, it's sad. It's tragic because, it's like the West.
Well, just remember, though, David, he wanted us locked down and treated just like they were in China. March from the airport, locked, sealed into your room, et cetera, et cetera. And then when this is the slide, this is why I hate people like him. And hate is a strong, strong word. But I hate people like him because only 2 weeks ago, about 8 weeks ago, he was saying, no, I would have never had a lockdown if I was in charge. No, I would have stuck out and not done a lockdown. Utter garbage. Because he was only telling us a year before he'd do it China style.
That's right. Donnie girl, we were just saying there, I think you maybe missed it, that we have a stream tomorrow, a special stream, live stream with a British Conservative MP who's going to explain himself tomorrow night in the sense of, I think we've got complete chaos over here. We've got we've got the UK going down the tubes in so many ways. And we'll talk about that tomorrow night. But I wanted to talk about the United States tonight. This was the theme. And so with Peter Navarro there, that was the guy that stood in the room beside Donald Trump. Honestly, apart from getting Donald Trump on the stream, you can't get anyone more central than that there. I did see, by the way, Jason, someone was suggesting, could you get Steve Bannon to come on? I'd love Steve Bannon to come on. So I must see if we can get Steve on as well. Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro were pretty much allies during those very difficult years. But Jed, it's easy for us to remember or to forget, but the amount of vitriol thrown towards Donald Trump from 2016 to 2020, you know, all the fake stuff, the Russian stuff, you know, the spy gate, all the crap that they threw against him. It is amazing that he achieved as much as he did, actually, you know. So in ways, I think it's looking back in it, and given that he was surrounded by swamp creatures and Peter called them out, Mitch McConnell, well, we didn't say him, but he is a swamp creature, and Lindsey Graham, absolute monstrous character. With all kinds of dodges.
Yeah, you know, and some of these people, perhaps, when I really started getting into American side of politics, sometimes Lindsey Graham came across as a reasonable guy, but actually, the more and more I know of him, the more and more, you know, he's a rhino. Cuts him in half and he'll say a rhino, like a stick of rock.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's the problem. You know, they will never, ever talk about all the achievements Trump did, ever. Or they'll only talk about the things that he didn't do or things that they stopped him from doing when those rhinos sided with the Democrats to stop him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see. Actually, City Troll says, oh, hi, City Troll, by the way. Great to see you in the stream. They're deciding whether or not to lock up Bannon. Well, interestingly, Peter Navarro, who we've just spoken to, he's also being summoned by the very same committee, the January 6th committee, and he too could find himself potentially sharing a cell with Steve Bannon. So the guy you've listened to is a very brave man. That's all I'm saying. You know, the amount of pressures that Peter and Steve Bannon must have. But you look at Bannon. He exudes confidence. I mean, I have to say, Jed, I do listen to quite a bit from Steve Bannon. And I mean, just like Peter Navarro, he's not saying that the Republicans should take the elections, you know, for granted, the results for granted next month. But honest to God, if they can't win next month in both houses, they're never going to win, but particularly in the lower house.
I mean, no, they have to gain some control back this time round, because if they don't, control will be relinquished. And it will be relinquished because the Democrats are slowly changing the laws to stop anybody challenging them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What do you see?
So that's the point. If they just get a clean run at 4 years, by the time it comes to 2024, it will be pointless running as a candidate, because the odds and the laws will be stacked against you, because there'll be so much postal ballots, machines rigged, and we know they're rigged. There'll be double the amount of mules going around every single day, you know. So they have to get some control back. But the problem is, when a conservative gets control back, they sit on it. When left-wing Democrats or Labour, when they get control, they seize it and they start to change everything.
Right.
Look at Tony Blair when he got control, how he changed it all. Look at the Democrats now not with Joe, but I mean, Joe is hardly a figurehead, but he's a figurehead. All the Democrats in the background are just destroying the American, and I'll call it a democracy. And City Troll, before you say it's a republic, okay? They're destroying America before our very eyes.
I want to just read out a comment I see here. Wooby Bird says, Navarro is a class act and a true patriot. He absolutely is. You know, as I say, I'm so impressed that we managed to get someone of that caliber on our stream. I'm really pleased about that, because, and Tally B says, voting integrity must be maintained. They will cheat if Republicans allow them to. Well, you're right, Tally B. I think the official word, because we're on YouTube, is fortification, but they will fortify like hell, Jed, given the
that's my point about conservatives, whether it's whether it's Republicans or whether it's the Conservative Party here. They never seize power and then do good with it. They sit on it.
Can I just say, by the way, on YouTube, I see H.J. Yigo says, trust is being removed by a globalist establishment coup in a matter of weeks. And they did the same to Donald Trump, but it took 4 years before because he's so tough. That's an excellent comment. I completely agree with you.
I agree.
You know, we'll talk about it more tomorrow night in terms of trust. But they hated Trump in the White House. They absolutely
They hated him with a passion. Yet before he decided to run, they loved him as a businessman, didn't they?
Well, it's a very fair point. City Troll actually makes a very good point over in Getter. He says, "Don't forget, Republicans controlled both the House and the Senate for Trump's first 2 years and fought him." You're dead right. I mean, that's the problem with the Mitch McConnells and the Lindsey Grahams and the McCains and all these other Republican and name only people, you know. So H.W. Logan says, "Who wouldn't want to be on your show? Hey, Donald Trump, are you listening? Are you prepared to come on?" Put it like this. I'm real pleased that we can get such high quality, such high caliber guests on the streams, you know, so we do it that way. But I think, look, Jed, the achievements of Trump were mighty considering the forces against him. But I'll tell you what, and I noticed Peter didn't want to commit himself to it, but, you know, I'll be shocked if the GOP do not win back, certainly the lower house, definitely the lower house.
But it's what they do with it, David. That's the point.
Well, okay, yeah, fair point. You know, that's a, okay, good counter. But I also believe that Trump will announce. He will announce he's standing for president. And that's going to electrify the body politic, because everyone, the world and his wife, knows that he's, you know, this is what he's been doing for 2 years. And good on him. I mean, it took a couple of months to recover from the horrors of 2020. And he's been building. And I know some people here aren't necessarily, I know there's people who think that Ron DeSantis would make a better.
I've heard rumors that he might be his running mate.
Well, that would be the best of both worlds, Jed. I think if we could combine Trump and DeSantis, you have got a fantastic dynamic combination. I suppose the only thing is, some people would say, like, and the American friends might get this one, like, this Carrie Lake, I really like the cut of her jib. Carrie Lake, now, of course, she hasn't won yet, but if she was to win, she'd be a really good, really super articulate, media trained, and she's got all the MAGA instincts. And again, Jason, not Tulsi, Tulsi Gabbard. Yeah, see, I quite like her. I mean, she's not exactly, she looks a lot better than Nancy Pelosi. Let me put it to you like that, without being sexist. She's easy on the eye, and some of the things she says are okay. But no, she's got no chance. It's going to be probably DeSantis, Jed, I think, or maybe a Carrie Lake or so, or maybe some. Libby says, thoughts on Jared Kushner. Libby, can I just say over and get her? You should buy Peter's book. He gets absolutely stuck into Jared Kushner. Kushner is definitely a bad one. And Peter gives lots of examples of just how bad a one he was. I mean, this is the thing, Jed. I mean, Trump was afflicted by his enemies outside the Republican Party. He was afflicted by his enemies within the Republican Party. And even, Jed, within his family. Do you know what I mean? Within his family, Jared Kushner was a bad one. And
That's right. And, you know, you can see the parallels right now here in this country. The party is toxic to its leader. That leader has just gone through a 9-week process. I think it was 9 weeks, wasn't it? Nine-week process to be elected. And the second she's elected, those that didn't vote for her, those MPs that didn't vote for her, have got the knives out. They're briefing the press behind her back. Yeah. They're bringing her down from within. And that is unforgivable. If you've got an MP that has done that, then, and you could vote for him, I don't know how. Because that was, she was democratically elected by the party to be the prime minister.
Tomorrow, but Jed, we'll cover this tomorrow night is we're gonna have some lulls tomorrow night. But back on Trump, I would love to see the Republicans gain the both houses in November and then do something. I'd like them to have all kinds of inquisitions and star chambers into all the shenanigans concerning Biden, Hunter, Pelosi's husband. There's so many scandals. And then what I'd like to see is this culminate in the re-election to the second term of Donald Trump in 2024. And then when he gets in, I want to see ultra nuclear dark MAGA. I want to see, because there's so many good things that America could do, not least regain America energy independence, keep its nose the hell out of trying to start World War III. There's so much could be done. Arrest Fauci. That would be a good thing to do, by the way. Trump, I'd like to see him doing that. But, you know, there's all of those things that a Republican, a MAGA Republican administration can do. But you heard Peter Navarro warning that, Jed. There's the MAGA Republicans and there is the Rhino Republicans. And there's a fight going on with them at the moment as well, as in terms of who's going to get
Who wins out of those, isn't it? Out of those two groups.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know. By the way, Nev 500 and Getter says Carrie Lake is good. She's really hot as well. Don't you dare be so sexist. I mean, we can't even be sure she's a woman.
No, that's because that's climate change.
That's climate change. That's why she's hot. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's yeah. Well, I wish I was hotter. Actually, I need a blanket on me here. But so City Troll says no need to impeach. He'll be out in the next 6 months, and Kamala will be president. Yeah, you see, the thing, well, I don't know what you guys think. I think there are other choices for the Democrats other than Kamala, to be honest.
Like who?
Well, for example, there's Pete, is it Buttigieg?
Buttigieg, or whatever, yeah.
That dodgy guy. He's
California, isn't he?
He's California, yeah, but the Democrats are California. And they're coast to coast, aren't they? They're East Coast, West Coast, and nothing in between. So,
well, it's a bit like between the ears, then, isn't it, for a Democrat?
Well, you know, but they're evil. I mean, you know, and this is true. I mean, I've been very busy today, and I haven't put as much stuff out as normal. But you know, the sheer evilness of the Democrats is a wonder to behold, and it needs to be. And the only person who would really call it out, and he's brilliant at it, is Donald Trump. That's why, despite the fact that, you know, there's some things I maybe disagree with Trump on a bit, but for not most notably the whole warp speed jet, you know, the whole jabbery business. But if we park that, just leave that to one side, just about everything else, his instincts are brilliant.
Yeah, that's right. And you are right. The Democrats are evil. The left is evil just by the nature. So, like I said, when they gain power, they use that power to not just beat their opponents, but to destroy. The Democrats are slowly destroying, well, not slowly, are destroying America as we watch. And like I said, without taking some power back in this year, if they don't, then you're probably looking at Democrat them for 8, 12, 16 years.
Yeah, America won't survive that. And, it won't. By the way, I see David Gates is telling me here that our friend Pete Buttigieg is not California. Yeah, I think is he Ohio or somewhere? Anyway, the point is he's
I'll tell you where he is. At least he's nowhere near me.
No, but I'll tell you who could be near you, and that's Hillary, because of course Hillary Clinton, she hasn't entirely ruled herself definitely out. And Jason O'Brien makes the point: imagine having Hillary as VP, you would never feel safe. Well, yeah, because
she'd be starting wars with everybody, wouldn't she?
Well, if you remember, Jed, do you remember back in 2015? She was hot for war. She wanted. I remember this so well. She wanted war with Russia in 2015, and then. Obviously, you know, she lost and we had 4 years of peace and then Biden gets in. And what have we got now? War with Russia. So not only that, does she want war with Russia, but people who have information on the Clintons kind of end up dead. So,
they do, don't they? Suddenly turn up dead.
Yeah.
They wake up in the morning all dead.
No, of course, City Troll makes a very good point. And really,
I tell you what, I wish City Troll would stay on one platform.
Because I'm getting goggle-eyed going between them. I'm with you. I'm going to be dizzy. But he makes the point, it's not the Democrats' choice. Well, it's not the rank-and-file choice. It's Obama's. He controls the party. Now, that is a great comment, and I completely agree.
Is that Michael Obama?
That's Big Mike.
Big Mike.
Big Mike. It's his party. He's a wonderful person, but you're right, City Troll. That it is the Clinton side. Tally B says
it's the Clinton effect.
You've been Hillary'd. Look, seriously, I reckon that this so-called Joe Biden administration, it's really Obama's third term. I'm sure a lot of guys agree with
absolutely.
That. If
they don't get control, he'll have a fourth term too. It'll just be a different puppet in the White House. Judge doesn't even know he's in the White House at the moment.
Well, I think he's definitely a puppet master. I think from my own sources, the people around Biden are the second tier apparatchiks from the Obama regime. So in other words, whenever Obama finally had to go out of office, the best minds around him, they all got themselves top jobs in business and commerce and the media. So that's where they all went to. But the second division people, they stayed around, and they're the people behind they're Biden. So it is Obama. It is definitely Obama. But it's also some of the worst people that Obama surrounded himself with. And if you contrast Peter Navarro, who we've just listened to, with the sort of freaks that Obama had around him and that Biden has around him, it's a stark choice for America. It's a real stark choice for America. And I think, Jed, you and we feel a lot in common with our American cousins.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we don't agree with them in everything, but we agree with them on a lot of things. And when it comes to the appropriateness of having a change in the White House, you know, it's so critical that we get this. And that starts in little under, I think Peter said, what day is the midterms? Is it the 3rd of November, I think? 3rd?
17th, isn't it? I'm sure City Trouble will tell us on one of the
platforms. Yeah, come on, everyone. What date is the midterms on? Tell us, old gurus off the streams.
Don't forget, get us just a little bit behind. It's about 30 seconds behind, so
I'm sure
Paddy will tell us.
Those of you in the Twitter in the Getterverse, or indeed in the YouTubeverse, if you've got the idea. But anyway, it's not very long away, so here we are, what, on the 17th of October, so
4th of November.
Well, Donnie Girl says 8th of November. Nev says 4th of November. So there's a fight there. Okay, Donnie Girl versus Nev 500. Fight it out. Tell me. what is that? Come on, City Troll. You need a win.
Come on. Let's 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Oh, you see, I see what you've done there, Jen. I see what you've done there.
Donnie Girl saying Tuesday, November the 8th.
Tuesday, November. Thank you very much, Donnie Girl. Thank you, David, for just confirming that. Thanks, Nev. You're only out by a couple of days. Thanks, Jason, as well. Yeah, so November 8th ain't that long away, and that's going to be pivotal. That's going to be a pivotal. So I'm not sure if that's one of these ones where, you know, we go to bed and we're optimistic and we wake up the next morning and we're shattered. I don't know, but it's going to be fascinating to absolutely watch it all, you know. And the other thing, Jed, then, to wrap things up for tonight is, as I said, we've referenced tomorrow night, and I think you've got the slide there for it. So look, folks, this is tomorrow evening's stream. It's actually going to be 7 p.m., not 8 p.m.
Oh, sorry, I'll change that.
That's okay. No, we're just testing everyone's attention. So it's 7 p.m. tomorrow night and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and whatever it is over Donnie Girl's way. But it should be interesting because I think that, like, as you summed it up perfectly, Jed, we're seeing a globalist coup in front of our very eyes here in the UK. And we saw it happen in the States in November, in 2020 when Trump what happened with Trump. So I think it'll be fascinating to talk to the Conservatives and find out, do they understand, Jed, that they are heading towards electoral oblivion? Oblivion.
Well, I mean, it's just popped up on my phone there. Midterm losses. This is Tim Pool, this. Midterm losses. Yeah. As new poll shows, voters switch to GOP. Panic mode as GOP sees massive boost. That's literally as we speak from Tim Pool.
Yeah, but the only thing is, I'm so paranoid now after Jed, the last couple of years, that I'm thinking, is that the sort of thing that they would spread so that Republican voters decide to stay at home and not do?
Well, Jason O'Brien has said he does. I think it was Jason. He said he won't go to bed because he doesn't want to wake up with another shocker.
Yeah, Jason, listen, mate, I completely agree with you.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, I don't disagree. So we've got this big chat tomorrow night. So I hope you American guys will come along, as well as all the Brits and the Irish in this one for tomorrow night.
We're an hour earlier tomorrow.
We are an hour earlier, but it should be interesting. And as I say,
Donegal, you like finish work a bit early. I'll be at work. Finish early, Donegal.
I think she can listen with her headphones in. Thanks very much, Vicky, by the way, for your very kind words. Jed and I appreciate all the kind things. Oh, the other thing is, Jed, we should say, I know you saw the ticker tape running along the bottom of the stream earlier, but again, a heads up. Yes, coming soon, davidvance.net. One place, the ultimate repository for all the stuff we put out. So the site's not live yet. It'll be going live very, very soon. And that's where you'll be able to get all the podcasts we put out, all the videos we put out, all the articles we put out, and other things by other guests. It'll all be in one central location, which seems kind of something I should have done a long time ago. Donnie Girl says she's going to... Yeah, I knew, Donnie Girl, you'd be listening on your headphones. I knew you would be. So that's going to be tomorrow night. But I hope everybody enjoyed that one tonight. As I say, you don't really get a better quality, savvier, more experienced voice than Peter Navarro. So I'm very honoured that he chose to come on this stream with us. And again, a big thank you to Peter for that one. I think, Jed, I don't know, you're planning to show something there in the background, Jed?
No, because I was also streaming what we've just been streaming over to the new site. So I was giving...
Right, okay, okay. Right. So, right, folks, listen, thanks again, everyone. Thanks, Melanie, Jason, all the folks over on the YouTubes. Thank you guys on the Getters as well. As I say, I hope you enjoyed that one. We're going to be back tomorrow night. We're going to be back on Wednesday night as well. And then we'll have the Podbean live on Thursday night. We're going to smash everything to pieces this week and make sure you're there as part of it. So look, that's it from me and from Jed. And folks, thanks again for sharing the time with us. And we'll see you 1 hour earlier tomorrow evening as we discuss the fate of the Conservative Party. Thank you so much.